The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. It has been a busy afternoon. I know it's a basketball afternoon. Many of you are watching, and we'll keep you updated on all of the games that have been played and are currently being played. Alabama goes up, is up 75-52. 9 minutes left in Birmingham. They'll move on and play Maryland on Saturday. Missouri has won today, advancing under Dennis Gates, the first-year coach. The biggest upset of the day, Furman over Virginia. Yes, I said that correctly. Let's move on. And before we get back to your phone calls, talk to Billy Lucci from TexAgs. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk to Billy. Billy, good afternoon. And first of all, great to have you back on the program. How are you?
Always, buddy. How you doing, Paul? I'm great.
Before we get to football, and I definitely want to get there, the Aggies playing later tonight, pretty late, against Penn State. What's the mood out there in terms of what Buzz Williams has done in, pretty quickly getting this team to the tournament?
The mood is I really need them to win tonight so I can get out there Saturday and see them take on the Longhorns, or either them or Colgate, but probably Texas. So a big one tonight, a really tough one against Penn State. They're a 10 seed that is playing a lot higher. A&M's a 7 seed that I think everyone I've heard talk around college basketball this week thought earned their way to a much higher seed than that as a second best team in the SEC. Look, Paul, Buzz, you know, he had a rough year during the COVID year, but he was SEC Coach of the Year his first year. He was SEC Co-Coach of the Year this year. They were probably snubbed out of the tournament last year, I think most would say, and then this season were the second best team in the league. So he's got a really good thing going in College Station. The fans have, if you saw anything from Reed Arena this year, the fans, the students' body, have really jumped on the bandwagon and embraced this basketball program. It's been like nothing I've seen since the last time Buzz was here, where he was an assistant for Billy Gillespie, and the Aggies were rolling with AC Law and company. So he's brought back some of the magic. I think he's figured out that delicate balance, Paul, between, you know, you're not going to go recruit a bunch of five. So this isn't Kentucky basketball. It's a football school, as Buzz has said many times. Slosh Nagel at baseball says the same thing. You know, football rules in the South, but fans will absolutely embrace basketball if you're patient and put a good product on the floor. And that's what Buzz has done. And, Paul, he's figured out that delicate balance between high school recruiting, guys like Wade Taylor, and also going into the portal to get guys like Marble, Henry Coleman, and Dexter Dennis, and Boots Radford. So, been a fun season. You hope it continues past this weekend. This is one of those teams that kind of has the makeup of a team that can be kind of a March darling, but man, they've got a daunting task in front of them between Penn State and then the number two seeded Longhorns, who many believe should be a number one seed.
Exactly. Billy Lucci with us. Billy, while we were in Nashville the other day, talked to a few Aggies, and they're fired up about football. And that caught me a little bit by surprise because I wondered about how the mood would be after last season. So give us what to expect as the Aggies are, you know, a month away from the spring game. What are you seeing? What are you hearing about this year's edition?
I'm excited for spring football. I think this team, you know, in the last couple of years, they've been picked pretty high in the SEC. I know you and I have been high on them entering seasons, and they've let down, you know, with that brief stretch where they beat Bama and Auburn a couple of years ago and looked like they were starting to roll. They haven't lived up to the hype. And it's been a quiet offseason for Jimbo and the Aggies, probably the most quiet I can remember. I don't think that's a bad thing, Paul. I think maybe this program needs to be in that position where they are, and I've seen some people call them a sleeper. And maybe that's what some of these players need. Maybe there was a little bit too much of, I just think culturally around here, maybe, you know, everything was a step ahead of itself. Even in some of us that cover the team, even some people around, you know, SEC Network, everyone got so high on them. And I think maybe there was some reading of the old press clippings. It's been an up and down couple of years, as you know, but I like what I'm seeing and hearing from the players that come in, from the coaches I talk to, I think the Bobby Petrino thing obviously was a huge talking point when they made the hire. I look around the SEC and I look at some of the hires that some pretty big programs made at the offensive coordinator position. And I hear what's going on with Bobby Petrino across the street and how he's fit in as an OC only, not the head coach, not having to do all those things, but just sit in that building and work with the other staff members on the offense. And there's quite a bit of positive energy and buzz going on, not just from the coaching staff, but also the players. So I think low-key, Jimbo may have made the one hire that could work when everyone's talking about this transition and will he turn it over. The best thing he could have done, Paul, in my opinion, was hire a veteran that he knows and respects and knows is his peer when it comes to offensive football. And I think actually you might finally see Jimbo as someone that they sit there and work together as opposed to just being, one voice in the room. And I think that's what was desperately needed on that side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, I still think they need some portal help, maybe an addition at linebacker and at cornerback. But up at the top, they're going to be a pretty good unit under DJ Durkin this year. I think that's where a lot of the excitement lies, is there, and with the skill position talent they have, particularly at quarterback with Connor Wigman and receiver with Evan Stewart, Moose Muhammad, and the return of Anaya Smith.
Billy, you know Jimbo Fisher better than anyone, and it just seems to me that it has to be quite a transition for him. He's so used to being on that practice field in charge of the quarterback. What's he going to do?
It's a great question, Paul, and it is the, whatever you want to call it, million-dollar question, the $80 million question, because I think so much of what happens with exactly what you just said and what happens with that offense – this year, because the pieces are there. And the offensive line wasn't good last year, but they got better as the year went on. You saw them against LSU, A-Chain with 200 yards. They return everybody. They return that whole group, including a couple backups. So there really is no excuse for that offense not to be very explosive. It's like with what you do and with what I do. Unfortunately, you see the grays here. I've been doing this a while. I know how long you've been doing it. If you're not willing to adapt and change, it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, you will fall behind and you will lose your edge. And I think the most encouraging thing for me from the offseason is that from everything I've seen and heard, Jimbo's acknowledged that he's not just dug in as this dinosaur from 10 years ago at Florida State with Jameis Winston and company. He's acknowledged that the game and the demands of the head coaching position have changed. Maybe he doesn't always say that to the media. As you know, he can get, a little standoffish like a lot of coaches do when they feel like they're being questioned. But behind the scenes, he has acknowledged readily that, yeah, that the position requires a lot more and I need to shift some of my focus towards the day-to-day and the running of the program and also overseeing everything, even at practice. So, again, I go back to, if that's how you really think, I think the hire ties into what he was telling those close to him. You see, do the words match up with the action? And when he did that and they were willing to take kind of those bullets that were going to come with hiring Petrino, it tells you that the actions are matching up with the words. So that's, as you know, that's just the first step, and it just, no matter how good it looks or feels, it has to play out on the field. But encouraging would be the word I would use, and cautious optimism, because they do return a lot on this football team. Let's not get it twisted. They return about 18 to 22 starters, and it's not like, so much was made of that recruiting class, so much was made about all those players that went into the portal. But the reality is, I think maybe one potential starter left the program this offseason. I mean, there are a couple of guys that would have started on down the road. One, maybe two potential starters on this year's team left the program. So they returned quite a bit. And that, I think, is getting lost in that gaudy number of transfer portal entries.
Billy Lucci, before you go, talking about the Aggies here, we want to take a look at the schedule. And I realize it's middle of March. But We are pretty deep into Jimbo Fisher's tenure now. I realize the reboot button has been hit, but let's talk a little bit about what the schedule looks like. And really, we got the expectations totally wrong last year. What about this year?
And to be honest, Paul, I don't think the expectations were wrong. I think the team underachieved. You know, we're always honest here. And this year, the expectations will probably be lowered a little bit. But I think in year six, the team has to overachieve. I think they have to flip the script here. I look at that schedule, and I see a lot of – I see Tennessee, I see Alabama, I see LSU. And I see a lot of SEC teams that, just like last year and just like the year before, they're all going to be bunched up. So it's up to A&M to, you know, win the majority of those games. You got South Carolina and Mississippi State and Ole Miss in a row. That's a stretch where if you want to turn this thing around, you need to win those three games. Two of the three are at home. But I think the three that I look at where I go, man, if this thing's going to work, if this thing's going to take, and it should get better as the season goes on, but that early season stretch, I don't know if it can make it, but it can break it. You're at Miami. You play Auburn at home very early in the Hugh Freeze tenure. You're in year six under Jimbo. And then you've got to go Arkansas up in Dallas, which you know how that game always goes. So those are three teams that I don't think are going to be that good. They might pop in and out of the rankings, but you're not talking about top 10 teams here. The Aggies, those are three that if you want to establish momentum and quiet everybody down and then be a really good team in that second half of the season, that September is very important for Jimbo and the program. And again, with the way they've recruited over the years and what they return, it would not be easy. But those are three games I think that they absolutely need to win. And that could really change the vibe, not just in the building over here, but also nationally when it comes to the perception of things and the direction it's heading.
Always a great conversation with Billy Lucci out in College Station, one of our absolute favorites. Billy, thank you for coming by. We'll talk to you soon as we get ready for spring drills in College Station. We'll update you on the tournament. Back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here as we get back to the calls after a number of guests. And Timothy is in Kentucky. Hello, Timothy.
Hey, Paul. I love your show, man, and I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Thank you.
Before I say what I'm going to say, I just want to say that the tragedy that happened with the Brandon Miller thing and the young lady that lost her life and that family that lost a member, that's a tragedy, and I hate that. But for the callers that keep calling in, every day I listen to your show, and I hear him cry every day and want Brandon Miller's head. That was, Brandon Miller did nothing wrong. He took somebody else, their property that they asked for, that they were licensed to carry. Okay, that the state has the text messages. They never said, "Hey, bring me my gun. I got to go kill somebody. I got to go shoot somebody." That was never said. They asked for their property. Brandon returned their property to them that was registered to them, and they were licensed to carry. That's it. Y'all are just mad because Brandon has either torched y'all's team or is getting ready to torch y'all's team in the tournament. And, Pa, I appreciate you taking my call, man. I love your show.
Thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. And Dustin is up next. Hello, Dustin.
Hey there, Paul. Good to be talking to you again.
Thank you.
I listened earlier in the week, and I heard AJ call in and spill a bunch of family secrets, and I feel obligated, especially that he and I are up against each other in this remedial play-in game. I got to tell you, he only told you half the story.
Dustin, let me help your case, okay?
Yeah.
Considering the decision that's about to be made by the staff here, You can only hurt your cause by talking about this.
Well, then let's get to the other point.
Okay.
in a moment of being very serious, and I won't belabor this because it seems like a lot of people have, but I mean this very seriously, no joking at all. And I'm not trying to come down on him or address him personally, but Jim's calls this week were embarrassing. I don't believe that Christianity is something to be weaponized. And as a Christian myself, for what it's worth, I want to apologize to you for the way you got basically attacked on air. I mean, I know this is a show, but certain things are crossing the line. And I wanted to tell you directly.
Let me say this, Dustin, and I appreciate that, and I don't even mean to interrupt. But if you said something to me about my character, it would bother me because I feel like we have some camaraderie.
Absolutely.
When someone like that attacks my character and calls me the devil incarnate, I feel badly for him, not for anyone else.
Well, since we do have, I agree with you, and since we do have some camaraderie, I want to tell you this directly and then to whoever's listening. I'm thankful for you, and I really mean that. I believe you're a good man. I genuinely care about you, and I've developed a love for you, man. I really do care about you, and I love you, and I appreciate the community that you've built here and all the things you've done for it. I really do.
Dustin, thank you very much, and you will now advance to the next round based on that call. Hey, thanks, Dustin. Really good to hear from you.
There's a winner.
Jim is in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, I think I might have known you up here at UT, but
Jim, did you drink a lot?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, well, then you obviously you met me somewhere then.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got a story for you.
Okay.
It does involve the Coach Bryant, but back in the old days, I went to Sanford for a while in
sure.
Birmingham.
Of course.
What's the first question they ask you when you move to Birmingham? Auburn or Alabama?
Of course.
And since my dad was a graduate of Auburn, it's always been Auburn, okay? But back in the day, when we got back here to Knoxville, I played on the golf team at Sanford, and apparently my grades weren't too good. Something like that sent me back here. But anyway, another story. When I got up here, went to UT, graduated from there, and I have to tell you a story about when I was a kid. My mother used to take me, and we would sell programs. I would sell programs when I was about, 13, 14 years old, over at the University of Tennessee. And she would always take me to the motels, and we'd sell them in advance, and I always sold out. Well, one day, Coach Bryant came out. He was down here at the Holiday Inn at Paper Mill. Team was staying there. He came over, and he autographed one of those programs for me. And he started talking to me. He says, young man, he said, are you going to Tennessee? I said, no, I'd like to go to Auburn. He says, well, why is that? I said, because my dad went there. And he also said, well, you know what? At least it's a team in Alabama that you're rooting for. And I said, yes, sir. But he was the nicest guy I think I've ever met. And then several years later, when he came back to Knoxville, he autographed his book for me.
Oh, that is amazing.
Down at West Down Mall. Yeah, I mean, he was, I have to say it, you know. And he brought up Suge Jordan. And I said, oh, yeah, Suge's good. He said, let me tell you something. That's the nicest man, the kindest person you'll ever meet in your life.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, Jim, thank you for sharing that story. That is really remarkable. We appreciate it. Let's continue. Jerry is in Kentucky. Hello, Jerry.
Hello. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I was calling. It seems like every day this week, legend has talked about the Kentucky basketball program and comparing it to Alabama football or kind of downgrading the Kentucky Wildcats. And I think we were living rent-free in Legend's head this week because of Alabama having zero times from a basketball standpoint getting to the Final Four. And so I bet you today, even as Alabama is winning their game today, we'll hear Legend somehow bring Kentucky into his conversation when he calls in today, Paul, if I'm a betting man. And I just wanted to say another thing. You're not heavy, Paul. You're my brother. So I appreciate it.
What a great song. I miss that song, don't you?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. Heavy. And I love you, Paul. And love your show.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say, you know, like I said, as we talked to Legend today, I give you a suggestion on your bracket. I would say you should put Legend in a playoff with Jim from Tuscaloosa. You might be able to eliminate two at the same time because I bet it would end in a tie. With
we'll
that being said, Paul, I'm out.
Thank you very much. Alabama has advanced 96-75. The A&M Corpus Christi hit a three-pointer at the buzzer. It may have affected the line, though. I'll have to double-check. But the Tide will play Maryland on Saturday. What was the line, 25? Okay, so it did not affect the line, did it? Yeah. Alabama missed a layup early in the final couple of seconds, and then not that these things really matter, but we were just trying to find some reason to be interested in the ending of this blowout. Alabama moves on. Let's double check. Did Brandon Miller score? Brandon Miller was scoreless in the game. He was 0 for 5 from the field, his worst game of the year on the biggest stage. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. Missouri moves on. Alabama moves on with a 21-point victory. Brandon Miller, the Player of the Year in the SEC, subject of so much conversation. 0 for 5 in the game, 0 for 3 from the three-point line. He averages nearly 20 points a game. He was held scoreless in the 21-point victory. Alabama had the game 20 to 25 points most of the game. It was not in doubt, but it is now over, and Alabama will play Maryland Saturday. We'll update you on the rest of the action in just a minute. Craig is up next in Oregon. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Paul. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about, our good buddy, the Golden Glove himself, Jim, and see if we might be able to pull the committee together again and amend the bracket. You know, I understand that Logan kind of shot himself in the foot with his absence.
He did.
But he's came storming back in the last few days. And thinking, you know, since Jim's lawyered up and everything, maybe we should put Logan in his spot. What do you think?
It's something. Here's the thing about the committee. They have the right to do whatever they want. So... we could. I mean, we do
exactly.
Because of the threatened legal action, Craig. We are concerned about making any sudden movement in the Jim case.
Well,
we don't want to. We don't want to add to the conversation.
We might get a cease and desist, and I mean, yeah. You know, Logan's more compelling, more intelligent, more polite. I mean, he's got the same poor taste in that Bama football, but, you know, I mean, all in all, Logan's a better Jim.
Logan has had a remarkable comeback. By the way, we are currently working on our dream team. We are taking bids to see which lawyers will be sitting on the table because it will be televised, so we want to make sure we have all the best and the brightest.
I kind of wonder also if the lawyers Jim's been talking to are voices in his head also.
Craig, based on the threat of litigation, I will not be allowed to comment on that.
No comment. I get it. Well, I appreciate it, Paul. You have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's continue. Moore is up next in Georgia. Hey, Moore, go right ahead.
Oh, hey, this is Tennessee Moore in Georgia.
Well, good to hear from you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really do enjoy your program. You, I would say, definitely one of the top five programs on the Southeastern Conference Network.
Thank you.
But in my opinion, Out of Pocket was the best. Whatever happened to Out of Pocket?
Oh, it's on during the football season. Every Wednesday night.
At 7 o'clock, I believe. Yeah. Oh, shoot, man. Well, anyway, I just tell the girls, the ladies, that I really enjoyed their show, and I'll be looking forward to football season, which starts in another 5 months or so.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I had the opportunity to be on that show one time. I had a blast with Alyssa and Drea. It is I agree with you. It's a fantastic show. We are here on a Thursday afternoon. When the games are on, it's always a little confusing. And I realize, and listen, we are well aware it's March Madness. You can't forget when you work at a television network. Of all the things that are great about working at this television network, the massive amount of televisions, I think, is my favorite part, Randy. I mean, we have, what, 8 televisions in here? And not one of them right now on an NCAA basketball game. We'll continue with your calls, and let's check Carl up next. Hey, Carl, go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Mr. Paul.
Thank you very much.
On a personal note, I wish you were a Georgia legend. We've been losing hours lately. I called. I kind of felt bad a couple of weeks ago. I got on the Alabama fans pretty good. Alabama fans are really good at helping me with my marriage.
How was that?
Well, since I've been listening to you and your callers, I've added 63 pages to my excuses book.
Yeah, that's a great thing because, I mean, all of us who are married at some point have to come up with an excuse. Like, I thought I told you to do whatever, And you just, I mean, you can't say you forgot that. And you know why you can't say you forgot? That means you don't listen to your spouse.
Yes, sir.
So you don't ever want to get, and, you have to come up with, so help us with some of the excuses that you have picked up.
All the, like the goalposts and, you know, all the different injuries and things like that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure that will help you in.
That will help you with the wife.
Yeah, if with your wife or husband.
Well, I've got more creative, okay, if you know what I mean.
I would anyway, say when my wife says to me, I thought I told you to pick up the way, I would say, do you have evidence of that? I mean, do you have a tape? I mean, nowadays with all the camcorder, cam dashes, and I mean, don't you think that would that be a good idea, Randy?
Yeah.
Why am I asking somebody who's been divorced? Okay, I mean, I just.
As a Georgia fan, if Alabama can bring another championship to the SEC,
yes,
I'm good with that. I hope I have good luck.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for all the
excuses.
That's for all the excuses. You got me in trouble already. David is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
David, we are doing really well. Thank you for asking.
Great. It's a wonderful day in Florida. Hey, it's kind of a light day, and your callers, I've always been meaning to ask you, talking about sports memories.
Yes.
Are you going to be better? And you go back 10 years from now to the University of Tennessee, and you talk to the students. Are they going to remember that you were in the Sports Writers Hall of Fame, or that you jumped out of a casket wearing orange?
Yeah, I'm afraid, David, that whatever I have done, and you know, I always leave that to others to determine. I have a feeling, you know, the day that I pass, you're going to see me coming out of that casket. local news in Knoxville. Good evening. Some sad news to report tonight. The well-known Tennessee graduate, Paul Feinbaum, who we all remember, and then you go hit the video, popping out of a casket in 2022 at the Alabama-Tennessee game, correctly picking the Vols' major upset, passed away today.
And by the way, he happened to be honored with something in the plaque, but we forgot what that was.
He died after he accidentally patted himself on the back too hard.
Okay, I appreciate your time. I enjoy your show. Have a good day.
Thank you. That's really funny. Sitting. By the way, I hope I survive the end of this show. I mean, that would be terrible if for some reason I just like went.
It's possible.
Do you think the casket? See, I've always thought there was one or two moments in my career that would always be in the first line. We used to call the first line of the obit back in the day when I used to work at a newspaper. It's always like, what is the most remarkable thing you've done? And now I'm afraid it's going to be popping out of the casket. In a Tennessee jersey, I might add. And it was tight, too. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So Arkansas, back from the half, nursing a lead. They were up by about 16 points early on. We'll keep our eye on this one as it goes. Meanwhile, we're getting a little bit of information. Again, that's one of the problems when you're not watching a game. But many people, I think including everybody watching, was wondering what was up with Brandon Miller today. He was scoreless in Alabama's blowout win. According to Nate Oates, he suffered a groin injury Sunday and was nursing it. And he was trying to keep his time down today, and we don't know exactly the severity of it, but it is an issue as Alabama now prepares to play Maryland in the round of 32. Let's get back to the calls here. And Gretchen is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
I just want to say that I have watched your show for many years and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And I'm calling about the Brandon Miller situation. I'm old enough to remember Don Henley's hit song back in the 1980s, Dirty Laundry.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
About mass media sensationalism.
Sure.
And from what I understand, the police or the law enforcement have said they do not have anything to charge Brandon Miller with. And I personally do not believe that he knew that the gun was going to be used to kill that young lady. And that was so unfortunate. She was a beautiful young lady. But every time now he plays in a game, they mention it. 20 years from now, if he's inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame, it will come up. And that reminds me of another song.
Kick 'em when they're up.
Let it go. I mean, I just think that people should let it go. I know it's affecting him greatly. If he were my son, I would be very upset about it. And I will continue watching your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Gretchen. And thanks for bringing back some hits from the 80s. Dirty Laundry. It was one of Don Henley's solo works after he always said he did not the Eagles didn't break up. They just took a 19-year vacation. One of the all-timers. Mitch is up next.
Hello, Brother Paul.
Mitch, welcome back.
Welcome back. That was a good show. Welcome back, Carter.
I like that show.
Gabe
Kaplan.
Yes. John Travolta.
That's right, John Travolta. I totally forgot about John Travolta. Gabe Kaplan. I was obsessing over the teacher, not the student.
A lot of people have, really. Legal question for you. Who has more, let's say, firm ground to stand on in suing somebody for defamation? The person that calls somebody who repeats what another person said and calls somebody as either a psycho or
right, schizophrenic,
or the person who himself called somebody the devil incarnate?
Well, it mitigating factor here. I mean, I will tell you, I don't think he's got a very good case. And here's the problem with, and everyone wants to sue, Mitch. I mean, I've seen it all day today, and even in the Alabama case, you know, we're going to pursue whatever. To sue someone, you have to show up in court. You have to file a document. You have to tell people who you are, where you live, how old you are. That's just a start. And then you have to maintain what happened and you know, whether there was malice or disregard for the truth. And finally, you have to prove damages. You have to prove that how were you defamed by a caller to a show talking about a guy that doesn't even use his real name? So he's going to have to probably subject himself to a physical examination, wouldn't you think?
At least
He's going to have to bring people. He's going to have to bring people in the community that will claim that they will never think of him the same way. And you know, I don't know about my attorneys because I don't have one, but I think we could just tell the judge, Your Honor, we got a minute and a half tape here of the greatest hits of Jim from Tuscaloosa. Would you like to hear it? And I think the judge would say, we are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.